Well, welcome to the JACCP podcast. My name is Stuart Haynes, and I'm the Senior Associate Editor of JACCP. And recently, the journal published a themed issue on clinical pharmacy education and training, and I was the guest editor along with Amy Seibert, and we wrote the editorial entitled Getting Beyond Learner Reactions, Elevating Our Scholarship About Teaching and Learning. The scholarship of teaching and learning, or sometimes called SOTL, has come a long, long way in the past two decades. More pharmacy educators than ever are publishing about innovations in teaching practice, residency program design, and professional development activities. We now have numerous peer-reviewed journals, including the Journal of the American College of Clinical Pharmacy, dedicated to publishing research and reviews related to a wide range of topics relevant to pharmacy education. Most national pharmacy meetings now have an invited podium and peer-reviewed poster presentations related to teaching and learning. And the scholarship of teaching and learning is seriously considered when it comes time for promotion at many academic institutions. Similar to pharmacy practice and patient care, teaching practices should be informed by evidence. The fact that we are generating more evidence is outstanding, but it's time to step up our game. It's time to get beyond learner reactions. We need to do a better job of rigorously measuring and reporting the outcomes of our educational effort. To explain why we need better evidence, let's use an analogy that clinicians will understand. Most clinicians use the biomedical literature to inform their treatment decisions every day. Drug therapy is an intervention intended to address a specific need and achieve a specific goal or goals. To make good decisions about what drug will likely work best in a specific situation, we need studies regarding the efficacy, safety, and cost-effectiveness of the available treatments. In these studies, we look at a wide range of measures of effect to give us a well-rounded sense of the likely outcomes if the treatment were used in a variety of circumstances. We'd want to know about the patient experiences when using the medication, including symptoms, quality of life, and the development of adverse effects. We'd want to gather information about the medication's impact on physiological responses, like its impact on surrogate markers, like blood pressure, as well as health outcomes that really matter to patients, like its effect on strokes and death. Moreover, we'd want to know how the treatment compares to alternative approaches, and we'd want to know how much it costs and whether it's worth it. All of these pieces of information are important. One piece of information is not sufficient by itself. Finally, we want these studies to have strong internal validity by following rigorous methodological standards. So similar to drug therapy, teaching is an intervention intended to address specific needs and achieve specific goals. While the learner's experience is critical to understanding whether a specific teaching strategy might be useful, it's not the whole picture. Arguably, the outcome of greatest interest is learning and behavior change, not how the learner feels about the experience. If an educational intervention does not result in learning, does it really matter if the learner liked it or reported feeling more confident? Several frameworks for measuring the outcome of instruction have been proposed, and pharmacy educators should use these models to inform the design and conduct of their educational research. In Table 1, we describe three widely referenced outcome frameworks for evaluating education and training programs. First described by Don Kirkpatrick in the 1950s, Kirkpatrick's four levels of evaluation is perhaps the simplest and most widely used framework. It includes four levels: reaction, learning, behavior, and results. More recently, this framework has been modified to conceptualize the outcomes that should be measured when evaluating continuing medical education programs. This is known as Moore's framework. And patient education programs, which was published by Rankin and Stallings. Reaction data are the most commonly reported, quote, outcome in SOTL papers in pharmacy and other health professions journals. Reaction data includes measures of participant satisfaction, the participant's judgment about the quality of the program, or changes in the participant's confidence or self-perceived knowledge or skill. While these data are no doubt critical to collect, they're subjective and prone to significant bias, most particularly social desirability bias and a cognitive bias known as the Dunning-Kruger effect. Participants often provide answers on surveys that they believe will be viewed favorably by the researcher, particularly if an instructor is well-liked. Moreover, most novices aren't very good at judging their skill level and grossly overestimate their competence. Thus, it is not uncommon for learners to report enormous gains in self-perceived knowledge and confidence after relatively brief instructional activities. For this reason, authors should report at least one objective measure of learning when reporting the results of an educational intervention. Measures of learning include changes in declarative knowledge, procedural knowledge, or competence measured in a variety of ways. In the absence of a control group, pre-intervention and post-intervention assessments should be administered to compare performance before and after the instructional activities. All too often, only post-intervention learning data from a single cohort are reported. It is simply not possible to determine if the learning activity was effective when there is no baseline or control group data, and preferably both, to compare. The goal of most educational programs is not merely for participants to be able to demonstrate their knowledge or skill on some test administered immediately after the program. The real goal is to change behavior. When the behavior is applied consistently and persistently, it hopefully leads to results. The adoption of new habits, improvements in health, and changes in organizational efficiency are admittedly more difficult to measure and report. Nonetheless, we need more data about the long-term effects of our educational efforts to determine whether they work and make a difference. Collecting and reporting this kind of data before and after an instructional activity can be incredibly powerful, but it must be considered when designing the educational intervention, not after it's implemented. Given the significant effort required to collect data about behavior change and outcomes, such studies require strong organizational support and, in many cases, external funding. Retrospective studies that report changes in behavior, prescribing patterns, medication adherence, for example, or health outcomes, for example, immunization rates, blood pressure goal attainment. These can be very useful. However, these studies are prone to confounders and do not provide definitive proof. Well, this problem is not unique to pharmacy education. There is a need for more high-quality evidence to inform how we teach across the academies. Academic Nursing recently published a position statement defining scholarship for academic nursing, calling on educators to focus on, quote, the impact and efficiency of teaching strategies by measuring and reporting student and programmatic outcomes. Similarly, the Medical Education Scholarship Research and Evaluation section of the Association of American Medical Colleges encourages and promotes rigorous and high-quality medical education research. These organizations recognize that we cannot rely solely on learner satisfaction or perception data any longer. We believe there is a significant opportunity for pharmacy educators to broaden their scholarship by looking beyond pharmacy journals to inform and share their scholarly work. Reading scholarly papers outside of our professional discipline is a great place to start. The American Association of Medical Colleges Medical Education Scholarship and Research Evaluation section publishes the annotated bibliography of journals for educational scholarship, which currently lists over 60 journals and scholarly artifact repositories. Not only can these sources help inform teaching practices, but they provide additional avenues to disseminate SOTL works. By thoughtfully and prospectively designing educational interventions, pharmacy educators can increase their publication rates in high-impact journals and reach a wider audience. Publishing in pharmacy journals like JACCP is important, But we must avoid creating an echo chamber where we only hear the voices of those in our disciplinary silo. Interprofessional healthcare delivery is increasingly important, and we desperately need more scholarship regarding interprofessional education. The Interprofessional Education Collaborative core competencies can serve as a guiding foundation for this kind of work. Engaging in interprofessional education scholarship will create new opportunities in practice by informing decision makers and key stakeholders, as well as driving policy and advocacy. Our scholarship must address the needs across the continuum of pharmacy education, from our professional and graduate degrees to our residencies, fellowships, continuing education, and professional development programs. There are many areas of inquiry that deserve more attention, including personalized professional development, micro-credentials, stackable degrees, certificate programs, board certification, and innovative delivery methods. It is time to hold ourselves to a higher standard. We need to measure and report the outcomes of our educational interventions using a widely accepted outcome evaluation framework can inform the sound design of SOTL projects and increase the breadth of outcomes that we measure. Health professionals would not recommend a treatment regimen based solely on favorable patient satisfaction data, nor should we adopt instructional practices that are based solely on favorable learner reaction data. We need to elevate our game to produce more outcome-focused scholarly work. Our learners deserve it, and healthcare demands it.